Andrew, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Well, first of all, which team do you think on paper, outside of Saskatchewan, has improved themselves the most?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, I would have to say I think the Winnipeg Blue Bombers had a better free agency period than anyone else. I love a lot the signings they made. I think it's great that they finally got some good offensive skill players to put around the rest of the team they're building. But the question is really if those additions are enough to take them to the level of everyone else. I think Calgary and Edmonton also have had pretty good offseason so far. But for me, it hasn't been so much about the guys they brought in is just hanging on to the guys they already have. So I would say that those three teams have all been looking pretty good.
What do you make of Ottawa, who had basically almost a Cinderella season last year, made it all the way to the Grey Cup and then lost in the waning moments to the Edmonton Eskimos? They lost Jason Ross, their offensive coordinator. They've lost a few other pieces. Is there a little bit kind of a resetting for Ottawa, who I think had a massive jump from year one to year two, and then we might see them fall back a little bit this year? What do you think?
I think it's certainly possible. I think Ottawa's still going to be a good team. I think their offense is still going to be pretty good. They have a ton of great receivers, and they've got maybe more receiver depth than anyone else, which is nice. It's very hard to shut down that many guys. The question for them really will be how Henry Burris does without Jason Moss running the offense, if Henry Burris can keep playing at the incredible level he played at last year, and if he can fight off age a little longer, and just how that whole situation with him and Trevor Harris plays out, and if we wind up with a bit of a quarterback controversy there. I think the thing to keep in mind of Ottawa, too, is A, they obviously had a huge improvement last year, but they did manage to make it to that Grey Cup final thanks to some circumstances beyond their control. It might be a little tougher for them if Hamilton hadn't gone through so many quarterback injuries. And I think it's going to be a challenging division because Hamilton looks to be very good again. Toronto is making a lot of big splashes ahead of their new move to BMO Field. So I think we could see a little bit of a reset on Ottawa, but they do still have a lot of good pieces as well.
Toronto moves to BMO Field this year, and we saw them unveil their new marketing plan last night on the Raptors game. The CFL was there. They had Mike Riley in attendance for that as well. What type of reaction are you expecting from the Argos, from the fan base, and then what's their product on the field going to look like?
Yeah, I think it's really going to be a good reaction from the fan base. I think this is what a lot of existing Argo fans have been waiting for a long time. A stadium that really works for them, that should by all accounts be a great place to actually watch a game, unlike a half-empty Rogers Center. They're going to have much more of a stable scheduling situation this year, especially compared to last year where they had all those games move thanks to the Jays and thanks to the Pan Am games and so on. So I think that there's a lot already there to appeal to the diehard Argo fans. I think this is also going to be stuff that appeals to new fans of the team or people who haven't really come out before. And I think that's where they're smart with this marketing campaign is they're hyping up not just the on-field product, but also the experience around it. I think they're very smart to come up with some ways to have a real tailgating experience there, both for people who drive and people who take transit. They're coming up with ways to really promote watching the game outside, ways to promote this being a real event to go to. And I think that's very important in an era where the TV product is so good. I think you have to get a little more creative and find ways to encourage people to go out to the games, and the Argonauts seem to be doing that.
Now that Montreal has added another quarterback in Vernon Adams, how do you see their quarterback situation shaping up to start the season? Because they have, I think, as many as five guys right now coming out to camp who all could be potential starters.
Absolutely, yeah. The Montreal quarterback situation may be the most fascinating around the league right now. You mentioned how they brought in Vernon Adams this week, and at substantial cost, they traded a first-round pick to BC for his rights, and that was before he'd even signed the deal. They then ponied up and paid significant money to sign him to a three-year deal. So this is a guy they're pretty high on. The thing that's interesting in Montreal is they have a lot of possible options, but they don't necessarily have one who stands above the crowd. Kevin Glenn is the experienced guy. He's in the top 10 in passing yards all time in the CFL, but he hasn't really been a guy you want as your number one starter, especially over the last 3 or 4 years. And he's relatively new there, too. They only brought him in towards the end of last season trying to make a playoff push. So I think he enters camp as the guy they probably would like to start the season with, especially given that Adams hasn't even played a CFL down yet. But there's going to be an incredibly short leash on him. Adams is probably, given what they've committed to him, he's probably the most likely to emerge and maybe take over that spot partway through the season. But it all depends on how he adjusts to the CFL. It all depends on how he adjusts to the Canadian game and the differences within it. And it's also going to depend on how well Kevin Glenn plays, if there's an opportunity to really throw somebody else in there. And it depends on these other guys as well. I mean, there's a lot of other talent there. You've got guys like Jonathan Crompton, who is returning off an injury, but used to be the starter there and was very good in the NCAA at Tennessee. You've got Rakeem Cato, and there's some discussion now of if they're going to trade him or not. But he was a guy who was a good, effective starter for them for some time and then sort of fell off a bit. He's another guy who had a great college career. You've got Brandon Bridge, who might be the most interesting Canadian quarterback prospect in a long time, a guy with legitimate NFL interest who did get some looks down there. So there's a lot of guys in the mix. The thing is, none of them have really stood above the crowd so far, and so it's still a very unsettled situation. But I could see any of those guys potentially ascending.
If they do trade Rakeem Cato, where do you think a possible landing spot for him could be?
Well, I mean, this is the fascinating thing, is that the CFL is only a 9-team league and there's only 9 starting jobs. The Montreal one is probably the easiest one to get right now because everywhere else seems a little more established. So I'm not sure what the market is for Rakeem Cato. I think you would find some teams interested in taking a shot on him, but the question is if he wants to leave Montreal for something that's maybe even less of a chance of being a starter, of really ascending. I think the one case that might be interesting is Winnipeg. And Drew Willey has had some very good seasons at times, but he hasn't always been able to stay healthy. And I think there's a little more uncertainty there than there is in most cities outside of Montreal. But really, everywhere else, people seem pretty set with their quarterbacks, and often they're pretty set with their second and third string guys as well. You look at Calgary, where they've got an absolutely great backup in Drew Tate. You look at BC, where Travis Lule is entering the season as a backup. There are not a lot of quarterback jobs out there, and that's why it's interesting to me that you might see a guy like Cato even push for a trade, because in my mind, Montreal might be a better situation for him than anywhere else.
Well, he's got to find his passport first.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, like what? The suggestion that if he gets released, he can't, like, come on, as if you can't find your passport. Are you kidding me? Like, that's, I found that rather hilarious when I read that earlier today. Lastly, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and all the changes, and people are thinking, well, Chris Jones comes in, and it's amazing how much, and not saying the coach didn't have a lot to do with winning, but the players still play the game. And when I look at all the changes in Saskatchewan, and I specifically the quarterbacking position, in how they're going to run their offense in Saskatchewan, do you think they have enough weapons to be a legitimate, scary offense, or are they going to have to try to win with their defense early on?
Yeah, I think that's the real key question with them. And you talk about the coaching. Well, Chris Jones has never really been known for his offense. There were some good moments in Edmonton last year, but where Jones's expertise really is on that defensive side. I think we've seen Saskatchewan substantially make over their offense already, moving away from smaller receivers like Weston Dressler, like Ryan Smith. I think they're going to go to more of what we've seen from Edmonton, of some running the ball, some taking shots downfield to big receivers, and see how that works out for them. But I do think it is going to be some growing pains for Saskatchewan, especially on offense, and especially early in the season. Because you have to keep in mind, that it's not just Chris Jones coming in. It's this entirely new coaching staff. And a lot of those guys haven't worked with any of the players that are in Saskatchewan now. So there, I think there's going to be a long feeling out process, and it might get off to a bit of a rocky start. That's why it'll be very interesting to watch and see what stories come out of the Rough Riders camp and how this whole experiment starts to come together.
Andrew Buchholz from Yahoo Sports joins us. Andrew, a tough one for you, but you look at new faces or even new players and one who you think is going to have the biggest impact on their new team.
Well, I think there's a bunch. I think it'll be interesting to see how much of a chance Chad Owens gets in Hamilton. I think he may still have something left in the tank, and he certainly has something to prove. I think it's interesting, the other guy who flipped there, Brian Baalke, going to Toronto from Hamilton. He's been very effective when healthy. He's battled a lot of injuries, but he's one of those potentially ratio-busting Canadians. And then I think the guy to really watch for me is going to be Andrew Harris out in Winnipeg. Because in my mind, Andrew Harris is so good. He's one of the best running backs in this game, his Canadian status notwithstanding. And he can really be great if you use him as both a runner and as a receiver. But you have to really tailor your offense around him. So I think he has an excellent chance of having a great year, but a lot depends on how the Bombers decide to use him.
Andrew, we look forward to the season. Appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.